Dr. Bickham is a research scientist at the Center of Media and Child Health in Boston Children's Hospital and an instructor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. His research explores media as an environmental factor that can influence children's physical, psychological, social, and academic well-being. His current work examines multiple mechanisms linking media use with childhood obesity. So please welcome Dr. Bickham.
Hi, thank you. I am going to talk today about an experimental study that I did right here in Boston that looks at brand integration in AverGames and how it can change the impact on children's product preferences and nutritional beliefs. I have no relationships to disclose. I do want to thank my funders. This was funded by the clinical research program at Boston Children's. If you've been to sessions today, you've heard that there's billions of dollars spent market food to children. In 2009, it was $1.79 billion. And this money is well spent. Exposure does actually impact brand and nutrition beliefs, and there's a well-established program of research with experiments showing that after children witness food ads on TV, they're more likely to choose that brand, they're more likely to choose sugary foods, they're less likely to choose fruit, they're worse at recognizing healthier foods, and they're more likely to think fast food is a healthy choice. So it's a very effective approach. Now, if you're me, these are the commercials you grew up with on television. This is what Cocoa Puff cereal commercial looked like on Saturday mornings. And these still exist, as a number of people have mentioned. TV is still the number one media use, and there's a lot of advertising. But there is a line being blurred between content and ads in our current media. So you do see product placement. This is one of the Transformer movies. I couldn't tell you which one, where Mountain Dew was featured in this program. So we have product placement. And now we have what are called AverGames, and they're games that feature the product as a static image or as an active component to the game. These games do reach millions of people, and they disproportionately reach younger children. About 1.2 million children ages 2 to 11 versus 0.9 million adolescents see these games a month. And they tend to spend more time on sites that have these AverGames than on food sites that don't have these games. And not surprisingly, these games sell candy, high-sugared cereals, and fast foods. So what are the impacts? This is a fairly new form of advertising, but there is considerable research that shows that playing these games increases participants' preference for the product, recall of the product, food choice in both positive and healthy and in unhealthy ways, depending on what food is featured in the game. So there's been studies showing that if you feature fruits and vegetables, you can increase consumption on a post-gaming task. One study showed that kids in the healthy condition ate 2 times as many carrots and grapes than kids in an unhealthy food condition, unhealthy game condition. So what we don't really know are the characteristics of these games that make them especially effective. There was a study that looked at the reinforcement patterns and what the players got points for in the game. And so this study used third and fourth graders and randomly assigned them to a healthy, unhealthy, or control condition. And they played this version of Pac-Man where you had, in that healthy condition, you got points for chasing and eating the orange juice and the apple, and in the unhealthy condition, you got points for chasing and eating the Coke and the chips. Afterwards, they got to choose a food and a drink, and half of the kids in the healthy condition versus 10% of the kids in the unhealthy position chose only healthy snacks during that task. So, while that sort of scoring is one characteristic of a game that can amplify the impact, we don't know of many others. So I'm going to talk today about what I call integration of product into gameplay as a potential characteristic. Also, we don't know who are at heightened risks. There's reason to believe that both children and boys might be at heightened risk for the effects of these games. So product integration happens when we embed brand identifiers into a game. And there was a nice report that did a content analysis that showed that about a little more than half of these games use a background ad About 67% use the product as an active component. So this is what a background ad game would look like. You're controlling the snowboarder. You're watching him. He's not branded. Your goalposts aren't branded. But you have these messages about Reese's Puffs cereal going on in the background. And if you compare that to this Oreo game, where you're trying, this is your traditional, you know, match the product, match the symbols game. You've got the product there, you've got the branding there, you've got the package there as active components of the game itself. This is actually, so now what we also see is apps that are becoming more popular that are using Abergame. And this is the McPlay app, which actually someone else used this very slide, or this very image earlier today. So, and you see they feature the product as well as some imaging about McDonald's in the app. You also see there's a picture of broccoli, which I don't think you can buy at McDonald's, but it's there. So how this integration might impact the user, we can learn a little bit about that by looking at the product placement research. If you look at that, what you see is prominence of the ad is enhanced by making the image more central on the screen and actually meaningful in the scene. So someone references, someone motions towards it. And that then builds recall. When it's more prominent, recall is more likely. This isn't surprising. It's basically building attention, which in, you know, according to information processing, is required to store and retrieve messaging about the product. I think this translates nicely into interactivity or movement or adding meaning to the brand image in the game could very well enhance attention and enhance the impact of the game. So I'm working starting with two hypotheses. One that basically that brand, the more brand integration cumulatively a game has, the larger impact it's going to have. So if you have a prominent background image, it has to be prominent. If it's off to the side and no one looks at it, it's not going to have an effect. That's going to be bigger than no ad. But if you take that and add a component of interactivity, that's going to be larger than having no ad or having the background image by itself. And I'm expecting these differences to occur in product attitudes as well as perceived health of the food product. So we would also expect that younger children would be more at risk for the impact of these games. Research in television shows us that kids identify TV commercials, younger children, by looking at features of those commercials. They're shorter, they happen between shows, they can identify them in that way. So when you mix content with programming or with entertainment, it makes it more difficult to distinguish what an advertisement is. And there's numerous claims, one made directly by the APA, that kids under 8 are especially vulnerable because they lack the persuasive intent to understand what's going on in an advertisement. So I would hypothesize that brand integration would have a larger impact on kids younger than 8, 6 to 7, than it does on older than 8. There's also some reason to expect that boys might be at greater, a bigger impact for boys. They're more susceptible to food-based TV commercials than girls. After an exposure, boys eat more, they make more product requests, and they have stronger product preferences than girls did. So again, I would predict that brand integration would have a larger impact on girls than boys. So in this experimental study, I had 89 6 to 10-year-olds. This is a convenience sample that I recruited from visitors to the Boston Museum of Science using their Living Lab, which brings researchers from around Boston to do research there. If you're interested in this, I like the program and happy to talk about it. It's a randomly assigned, the players were randomly assigned to one of three conditions, the no ad, the low integration, or the high integration. The games varied only on product presentation. Everyone played a 5-minute game, regardless of your skill level, so there was no advancing to another. Advancing to additional levels was all based on time. It didn't matter. You couldn't die. Everyone had the exact same exposure. The only difference was how the level of integration. So I created this game using Scratch, which is a programming language designed by MIT, and it's designed for children, so even I could do it. And so it's basically, you can go and make your own games, and it lets you sort of build with building blocks, piece in the images and take out the images that you want. So I created three games This one is the no advertising game. It's really very straightforward, much like the games online. You move this box around, you try to catch the diamonds, you try to avoid the little monsters. Everything's falling and moving, obviously. In the prominent background, you continue to catch diamonds, but the large prominent ad is for a snack cake that these kids are not aware of to avoid ceiling effects or already pre-existing brand effects. This is a Canadian snack cake. Now the integrated ad, what you see is the diamonds are now the actual snack cake image, which is very common approach. Thank you. In advertising, in AverGaming, and the box is also now an advertisement. Afterwards, they saw a picture of the snack cake and gave ratings on desire to eat, likability, perceived taste, and perceived health. And because of this variability of these, I dichotomized them with the midpoint going with the less frequent response side. And I'll talk a little bit about that. These kids, mean age of about 8, more boys than girls, more... pretty much a non-minority white sample. So in a bivariate analysis, univariate analysis, what you see is that the pattern of effects or the pattern by condition are the same for the questions about if the food tastes good and if you want to eat the food. You see a little bit of difference for the control group, less likely to say that they like the food than the other two conditions. And you really see for health, for the how healthy do you think this food is, you see a larger effect of the advertising conditions. The kids in the advertising conditions were more likely to say the food was healthy, and they it didn't reach significance, but they trended towards low and high integration conditions. So I put this to directly test the relationships between the conditions. I put this in a logistic regression, and then controlled for gender, minority status, their ratings of the games, and their age. And what was significant was really the kids who saw the background image were more likely the kids that saw no ad to say the food was healthy. So the effect was really in the question about healthiness and the main effects. I did see a condition by age interaction for the question, does this food taste good? The effect was with the younger kids and not with the older kids. Similarly, is the food healthy? The effect was with the younger kids and not with the older kids. The regression also indicated a condition by gender interaction for the question about do you like the food? And so what I found was that the effect was stronger for boys than for girls, but the advertising condition didn't matter. The effect was there for either advertising condition, but not for comparing the two advertising conditions. So my hypothesis one was only supported for the health question, and hypothesis two really wasn't supported at all. In fact, it really seemed that a gigantic prominent image was all you needed for these kids to have some kind of change in their attitudes about this product. It's just a surprise to me to some extent because there's no health claims being made, not like TV commercials, but it does seem that the presence of a food may convey sort of an implied endorsement that might lead to some learning about the healthiness of it. There was some evidence that the 6 to 7-year-olds were at higher risk than the 8 to 10-year-olds, but the level of integration didn't matter. If there was a big picture there, they were more likely to say that it tasted good or that it was healthy. So there does seem to be some evidence that the cognitive ability of children under 8 make them especially vulnerable to these messages. There also seemed to be some evidence that there was a stronger influence for boys than for girls, at least for this liking question, how much did you like this food? And this might go back to some evidence that advertising that's visual is more effective than men for women. This might show up for boys too. It may also be an artifact of their familiarity with the medium. That does tend to make the advertising more effective. I'll very briefly talk about the limitations. This is a small, convenient sample. These are self-report outcome measures, not food choice. I'm doing another study now that builds on this one. And this prominent background image is very large, and so that prominence might wash out some of this interactivity. So that might also be why I don't see this effect of the integration of the ads. So in conclusion, what we see in the in the field or in the industry is that Avergamings are becoming less common, but what we see now are these iPhone apps. So there's continuing to be this interactive and integration of content with ads. And based on these results, I would say that this shouldn't be a requirement. So you if there's a big ad, it's if there's a big image, it's still an advertisement. It doesn't need to have this level of interactivity to be somehow more effective. And that any interventions built on this should really seek to target boys and younger children to be most impactful. That's it, thank you. So, a few minutes for questions. Questions? Yes?
Is there any evidence to suggest that children with higher BMIs might be more vulnerable to the Avergames, or maybe there's some confounding factors involving any of that?
Right. I think that there might be some preconception that could come in. I'm not sure if it would be necessarily a BMI indicator or some cognitive sort of acceptance level. There also might be some already evidence there that they're already impacted by advertising, that they're already at risk for that for other reasons too. So I don't think of anything that specifically says, okay, if you're overweight, you're more likely, but I do think that that might be an indicator of some other vulnerabilities that you have. That would be interesting. I didn't ask anything like that. Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, it's also, you know, it is randomly assigned, so I would hope that my samples, the different conditions would reflect that fairly well. So, yeah. Yeah.
I know in some of these advert games, like the happymeal.com, that there's a need for a code to get into higher levels of game playing. So have you thought about whether or not, like, even if what kids leave the game with, if they are still compelled to go out and push for that purchase just to get to the next level of that?
So a code meaning that you have to buy something to
yeah,
obtain the code?
Yeah, you have to buy a Happy Meal.
Right.
Yeah,
I would think that would be very, yeah, I mean, there's lots of evidence that they use all kinds of giveaways or free information or free rewards to build brand, loyalty. So I would think that would be a way to do it. The funny thing to me is these games online most of them aren't very good. You know, they're competing with this huge array of Flash games that are available. And they tend to be very simple, like if you saw that Oreo game, like you can play that game, it's the same game you play on your phone, it's the Bejeweled or whatever, it's the same game. And so there's not any sort of major creative gameplay that's being done with this approach. So I would think that you would have to sort of go hand in hand, because you have to be like, okay, this is a good game, and you want to keep coming back with that. So there might be some out there that do that, but I would think that they'd want to put a little bit more behind that, because they are right now fairly simple. The interesting thing for me about the Happy Meal games is they've stripped all the products out of their games. So if you go to Happy Meal, you can play a game, it's called like Omnivore or something, and you're just catching pineapple and broccoli and tomatoes. But the actual game has no McDonald's food, but it's all presented within the McDonald's branding. And so they're kind of trying to, I think, avoid some criticism of using the product, but it's still being branded in this more sort of subtle way. So there's some really interesting things going on. I think that makes sense. So, I mean, but it definitely drives people there, and it puts them within the environment of the, It's an interesting approach. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.